Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Logical Soul Talk. My name is Michael Craig, and I'm your host for this weekly talk radio program that features interviews with some folks I consider to be among the best, brightest, and most creative people in the world. Now, during this 30-minute program, I'll ask them about their expertise and their work, but actually I want to focus on their inner world, the turning points in their lives, their mentors, influencers, and decisions they made that brought them success. You see, as a chiropractor for many years, I discovered that most people, including myself, have an underlying matrix or pattern of what I call hidden decisions that we made as small children or picked up from our parents, teachers, or even our ancestors. And these subconscious decisions form our reality and affect our motivation and our destiny. Consequently, these matrix decisions can either propel us to greatness or lead us to self-sabotage and failure. Now, quite by accident, many years ago, I discovered how to access these hidden decisions to allow amazing results to happen in my own and other people's lives. And you can get more information on my techniques and methods at www.logicalsoul.com. Also, be sure to click on the follow button at blogtalkradio.com/logicalsoul to get a heads up on all our great interviews. Now, my guests were selected because, quite frankly, I find their stories and lives interesting. I also found out they possess quality I find rare in an individual, and that is a passion for what they do, and also the quality of determination to see it through. They obviously have made some strong decisions early in their lives that led them to their current successes and achievements. And my goal in interviewing them here is to probe a little bit and discover their pattern of life decisions. And this will allow you as my listeners to maybe pick up some special nuggets that you can add to your own motivation and nourish your own seeds of success. So listen and enjoy. After about 10 or 15 minutes, I invite you to call in with your comments and your questions. Our phone number, our hotline, is area code 347-843-4544. That's 347-843-4544. And if you're listening to this by podcast, you won't be able to call in, but you will be able to hear the outtake moments at the end of the session here today. And if you call and you're live, simply press 1 to raise your hand, and I'll call on you and bring you up so you can ask our guests a question. So thanks for being part of the show. And our guest on the show tonight is a very special one, actually. She's a friend of a friend of mine, a very good friend of mine, Jason Oman, who co-wrote, both of them, actually, the book called Conversations with Female Millionaires. And her name is Rachel Young. She's had a very interesting life herself. In fact, I talk about interviewing people and the information they had about their own successes and so forth. She's done quite a bit of that herself. She's interviewed several of top-quality female millionaires and wrote a book called Conversations with Female Millionaires. She's done a lot of other things as well. She's actually, the Conversations with Female Millionaires is a brand new book, and we're going to ask her a little bit about that. She's also started a business called Entrepreneurial Women's Group with clubs expanding into several states. She had some difficulties in the past. She was in poverty, made money, and she's basically coming back from very difficult life, and I'm going to ask her to extrapolate or expand on that just a little bit. Rachel, can you hear me?
I can.
Thank you so much for being on the show. I actually had another guest lined up, and Rachel was very kind enough to come on the show on short notice, and I'm very honored to have such a great guest on such short notice. So, Rachel, welcome to the show, and thank you for agreeing to be here.
Oh, it's absolutely my pleasure, Michael. I really appreciate the opportunity.
Now, I've had a chance to look through Conversations with Female Millionaires. I got to tell you, it's a pretty book. It's pink, which I would think would be right in line with what you're talking about. But the stories in there are really phenomenal. I was really impressed with some of the women. I mean, you've got some of the names stand out. I mean, you've got a few people who some will recognize, some are maybe not so well known, but apparently all of them have quite an interesting story to go on. Like, there's chapter one, Kim Kiyosaki, who is Robert Kiyosaki's wife, I imagine, and Lee Miltier is in chapter two. I read her story. She's phenomenal. There's a lot of different people, Allie Brown, Alexis Martin Neely, Kendra Todd, Terry Levine, Sydney Biddle Barrows, and Sandra Yancey, who founded the eWomen Network. And let's start from the beginning. I'm going to get into the conversations in a little bit, Rachel, but I wanted to ask you, how did you get started, and what gave you the seed idea for getting into what you're doing now?
Well, I'm going to give you the Reader's Digest version because it is a long, involved story. Basically, due to a really horrible divorce about 10 years ago, I found myself not only homeless, but my three children had been kidnapped by my ex-husband and were missing for about 6 months. I lost my home. I had been laid off from my job. I don't think things could have possibly gotten any worse than they were at that moment. I was living in my car, and someone had given me a copy. Actually, that someone turned out to be the man who I have been married to now for about 8 years, gave me a copy of Rich Dad, Poor Dad by Robert Kiyosaki.
Uh-huh.
And before I had gotten laid off, I worked for the phone company in Georgia, in Atlanta,
uh-huh.
and just the most grandiose dreams of escalating up the corporate ladder. I read Rich Dad, Poor Dad, and the only thing I can equate it to is in the movie The Matrix with Keanu Reeves, he is given the
mm-hmm.
opportunity of taking either the red pill and going forward knowing everything that there is to know about the Matrix, or taking the blue pill, now I may have the colors mixed up, but taking the other pill and going back to the safe, comfortable life that he once knew, not knowing about any of this other stuff.
Right.
And when I read Rich Dad, Poor Dad, it was, absolutely life-changing. I read it in one sitting, start to finish. What else was I going to do? I was living in my car. But I read it from start to finish. It was so phenomenal because it was the first time that anyone had ever told me, you know what, you don't have to be Steve Jobs. You don't have to be Donald Trump. You don't have to be Bill Gates. You can be Rachel and start a business, and it's okay.
Right.
And it was like the first time anyone had given me permission to dare to dream my own dreams, instead of chasing, celebrity status or whatever within the company that I had been working for. And that was just something I had never thought about. And so I said, you know what, I've got literally nothing to lose. About the same time, a friend of the family, whom I had also worked at the phone company with, found out that I was living in my car and said, absolutely not, you have to come stay with me. So I lived in his basement, it was a 200-square-foot basement. And I was there for a total of 18 months. During that time, I remember I was on my way to the hospital. My children had been missing for about 6 months now. And the only thing that I had left to hang on to was my cell phone. That was the only thing that I knew that my ex-husband had, that if anything happened, if for some strange reason he needed to contact me, he could. I literally sat in my living room, afraid to go anywhere because I figured that would be the one time that he would bring the kids back. So I hung on to my cell phone. I was on my way to the hospital to ask them to either commit me or to put me on some sort of medication to make the pain stop because I was just so distraught. My oldest at the time was 6 and the twins were 2. Very, very small children. And at that point, my ex-husband called me and said, the kids are cramping my style, you can have them back. And so he delivered
to
me. I thought that was pretty generous. delivered them to me with just the clothes on their back. They were all 15 pounds overweight because they'd had nothing but Pop-Tart feet for breakfast, lunch, and dinner for 6 months, violently afraid of the dark, and had extreme separation anxiety. So I had my work cut out for me. I knew I could not go get a job, number one, because Rich Dad, Poor Dad so dramatically changed my thinking, but two, I absolutely could not be away from my children at this point. I was already on government assistance. I was on food stamps. I knew that we weren't going to necessarily go hungry. I had severe moral issues with being on government assistance because in my mind, I was able-bodied. I could go and get a job. You know, I knew that I could get work and provide for my family. But at the time, I really felt like, you know, if I put the kids back in daycare, if I put my son back in school, they need me as much as I need them right now. We just need to be around each other. And so there, I had great motivation to really try and make this entrepreneurship work. And it didn't. it did not. Because the very first business that I did, it was called I Do It Creations, and I painted terracotta pottery and made wreaths out of grapevines. Problem was, I didn't understand the whole idea of charging what my time was worth. I charged what I thought people would pay. Unfortunately, there was so much time that was put into the creation of these designs that there was no way that I was getting back the time that I put in monetarily. And I just was not able to make a profit from that. I had no mechanization whatsoever. It was all done by hand. So I said, you know what, this is not working. I borrowed money to make that endeavor work, and it did not. So I got into real estate investing, because how hard can it be? You just buy and sell houses. Turns out it is a little bit harder, and there are certain rules, regulations, and laws that you have to know and abide by in order to do this. The one thing that I did discover, though, amongst all of this chaos and trying to figure out how to make something work, was that I was excellent at marketing. And so that's what I chose to focus on, and I have had the name of my company is Big Cheese Marketing. I've had it for about 8 years, and that's where that side of it came about. However, you asked where I got started on what I'm doing now. The funny thing was, I do a lot of research for the clients that hire me, and at one point I was doing some research for a client who wanted to focus on marketing to women. And so I start researching women entrepreneurs specifically. Come to find out, there are women account for over 50% of the businesses that are started in the United States today. We're actually about 64%. And looking around, any woman teaching these other women how to run a business. Hmm. And I said, you've got to be kidding me. We're incredibly social creatures, and there's absolutely nothing wrong with a man teaching a woman how to run a business. Women do things differently. We do everything differently. You know, a man would never dream of going to the bathroom with four of his best buddies. Women, we love to go to the bathroom in groups. We love to sit together wherever we go. You know, we do things completely differently, and a lot of times women have a tendency to try and fit male style marketing into their business. And I said, wow, a lot of these women don't even know how to run a business. They are marketing in a way that is much more aggressive than they're used to, and that they're not necessarily comfortable with. You know what? I have made and lost money. I have been successful. I have self-sabotaged. I've lost it all. I've come back from the brink and made, you know, even more than I had before. I'm going to do it. And so that's what started the Entrepreneurial Women's Group, and what led to me doing conversations with female millionaires as well, was just this recognition that, you know, we're such unique and vastly different creatures that we need someone, a leader, to step up and say, ladies, guess what? Number one, you don't have to do this by yourself. And number two, there are a lot easier ways to do it. So that's where the women's group came from. And so now we're marketing to women. We're doing women-specific business websites and teaching women. And we're just – Big Cheese Marketing is very, very women-centric and very, very women-friendly to the entrepreneurs. So.
That's a fascinating story, Rachel. Thank you for sharing that. Okay, so you woke up one day, you – read the book, you took the red pill, your eyes were open, couldn't close them again, and suddenly you started this business, you started doing things. you started down the path. Now, whether you knew what you were doing or not is one is another thing. But but basically, you took action, right?
Yes.
And and I guess that's and I've heard that a lot as far as you know, women being different from men. I suppose that that's that's really obvious on some level, but on another level, it's not so obvious. And I've actually had several guests on my show who are women entrepreneurs who say basically the same thing. I noticed you did an interview with Sandra Yancey, E-Women Network. I didn't have her on the show, but I did have Victoria Brown, who's one of the uppity-ups in the organization. And she said basically the same thing, that women, you know, you do things differently than men, and that's just basic biology. In other words, there's going to be things that women do better than men, and I think that marketing may be one of those. Socializing, social media seems to be a natural fit. What do you find that, what was the theme that ran through your interviews with women millionaires that you found was would be probably the most important key to their success that maybe wouldn't be as important to a man?
I think most of the, one of the traits that I saw that just across the board was an almost mule-like stubborn determination to make something successful. You know, each one of the women in each one of the chapters, I chose them specifically because they each had a specific characteristic or a trait that was really what I wanted that chapter to focus on. Allie Brown, for example, we focused more on leadership. Lee Miltier, we focused on getting above your rearing and breaking through that ceiling. But the one thing across the board is all of these women talk about failing. They've all failed. They have all fallen down, flat on their behinds, ugly, messy failure. However, they were interviewed for a book called Conversations with Female Millionaires. It's because they had the ability to get up and say, wow, that really hurt. That sucked. You know what? I don't want to go through that again. And dusted themselves off, said, let's take a look. What happened? What worked? What didn't? If it didn't, why not? Tweak it. Try again. And just that stubborn, like I said, almost mule-like stubbornness to see something through and to see it succeed. To not stop and sit there and lick their wounds and have this pity party and feel sorry for themselves, but just to get up and say, I'm not going through that again. What do I need to do to be successful next time so I don't experience that?
Yeah, I know when you were interviewing Lee Miltier, I think she was talking about being raised on the ranch, and her father would always say no. That was the only thing he ever said, no, no, no. And she basically just learned to ignore it and just move on. That's an interesting concept, the determination and the stubbornness, as you call it. However, that seems to be a male trait as well. From the millionaires, the male millionaires that I've met and the ones that I know, is there something uniquely feminine about or female about some of the qualities that female millionaires have that male millionaires, for example? In other words, is there a model for female millionaires that's just slightly different than men that you notice there's a particular characteristic that plays into their success maybe a little bit more than it would for a man? Is there something like that, or am I just sort of imagining something?
Well, the reason that I went with the stubborn determination is because the women who I interviewed, they didn't do things, excuse me, they weren't striving for success like a man. They did it on their own terms. They were soft and genteel and still feminine and weren't the bulldog, salesy, pushy, you're going to do this, come hell or high water type salespeople. You know, they dabbled in everything from real estate to, you know, leadership and self-motivation, all points in between. But the thing that made that dogged determination so uniquely feminine was that they were doing it on their own terms. It wasn't this, you know, I'm, like I said, in your face, just aggressive type business mind, like we associate the Donald Trumps and the Bill Gates of the world. It was, you know, you can still be feminine, you know, I think I used even in the book the term genteel and very docile, as far as especially Southern women are concerned. I'm born and bred in the South, you know, and a lot of times we are taught to be very passive and very, very submissive.
Mm-hmm.
But that having that dogged success and doing it on their terms and still saying, you know what, I'm a woman and I can still do this, and it doesn't make any difference what my gender is, I'm still going to be successful, and not taking no for an answer in a feminine way. That was the kicker.
So it's almost like building the determination, the dogged determination to build on a consensus or else. I'm just trying to come up with, not being a woman, it's difficult for a man sometimes to understand exactly where you're coming from, but I'm doing my best here. Forgive me. But I guess I'm trying to understand, when you say genteel, I just sort of see women success coming more from a consensus building mode. Is that correct in assumption? In other words, where men would tend to be more of the lone ranger, women would tend to build more consensus, tend to farm out things a little easier, and tend to manage people a little better. Is that a correct assumption?
Well, women are very social creatures in nature anyway. When you put a woman in a leadership role, such as an entrepreneur or a business owner, the one thing that we do better than anyone, I think, is build relationships. And when you can go out and you build these, they're friendships even with other business owners, men, women, it doesn't matter. But when the female entrepreneur goes out and she says, this is a person that I can align myself with, and that I know that they will be able to help me get to where I need to go, it's not one-sided. It's not only will they help me get where I need to go, I know so many women, I know so many men, I know so many people that can help her or him get to where they want to go as well. And women just seem, it just seems to be very natural to us to create these relationships that are mutually beneficial. It's, you know, not necessarily one-sided.
Right, right. Very fascinating, Rachel. Thank you for sharing that. It's almost like, you know, in hearing this from a woman's perspective, it's very, very different, and yet it's so refreshing, you know. It's so good to see that women are coming out with their own ways of doing things and really sharing these ways with men who are, at least I know I'm learning something. Let me ask you this. Now we have Rachel Young. Let me just re-announce here. We have Rachel Young on the show. This is Logical Soul Talk. Rachel Young is our guest. She's the co-author of the new book called Conversations with Female Millionaires. And if you want to get a copy of this book, if you don't mind, go to my affiliate site here at Logical Soul Talk. That's logicalsoultalk.com/CWFM. That's logicalsoultalk.com/CWFM. If you want to see the page where she talks about the different interviews, and you can pick up a copy of the book there as well. As I understand it, you've also got this for sale on Amazon. Is that correct?
That is correct.
But if you don't mind, go pick it up at her website, and it'll be better for everybody. Let me ask you something else, Rachel. Now, oh, by the way, we've got a call-in. I see several people on the line here. If you want to ask Rachel a question, just press 1 to raise your hand. If you're listening to this and want to ask a question, call in 347-843-4544 and dial 1 to raise your hand, and I'll be happy to put you on the air. We've got about 5 minutes here, so don't take too long. And ask Rachel a question about some of the fascinating interviews she's had with millionaire women and some of the things that she's learned from that. Which brings me to my next point, Rachel. What is probably one of the biggest lessons you walked away from doing these interviews with women?
It's. I think my answer may surprise you a little bit. The thing that I absolutely walked away from was that anyone, regardless of their social, financial, whatever stature, they're all just people. When I contacted these women and I told them what I was doing, if you read the original Conversations with Millionaires, and I highly suggest that you do, a lot of it was a little on the salesy side. And when I reached out to these women and I told them what I wanted to do, and I would get on the phone with them and I'm interviewing them, the thing that amazed me was their willingness to give and share in the attempt to help others. There was, I almost had to ask at the end, is there a website that I can promote for you? Is there something that, some way that women and men who are reading these books can get a hold of you? I had to ask them to promote themselves. Mm-hmm. They were just so giving. Lee Miltier, for example, we were on the phone for almost 3 hours. Because every time I would, and it wasn't because I didn't try to get off the phone. You know, I was trying to be mindful and respectful of her time because she is a very, very busy woman. And I would say, well, Lee, thanks so much for sharing so much information. And she'd say, but wait, we haven't talked about this yet. And would continue on. And she just kept giving and kept giving. All of the women were like that. They were just so, I mean, just completely selfless in the information that they shared, in the time that they gave, in the advice that they were willing to impart, that it just, it reminded me that, you know, regardless of how successful or how wealthy someone gets, they're still a person. You know, they're still, they were very, very down to earth, very, very caring, and just, like I said, I was just blown away by their generosity, and I can count on, I'm going to say one finger, the number of women who did not say at the end of the interview, you know what, if you want to go back and revisit any of these topics, if you want to talk further about anything, please feel free to, and, you know, just contact me. Here's my email. Here's my personal cell phone number. Just let me know, and we can get back on the phone and talk some more.
Wow.
There was only one woman who did not say that.
That's fascinating. You know, I found that successful people, truly successful people, whether they're male and female or female, generally are like that. And it's really refreshing, I mean, to realize that you did contact some really successful people. I mean, and these women are no slouches. Obviously, they've accomplished great things. And, God, it's such a great feeling to speak with them. I mean, I know what you mean. And I'm glad you had such a great experience writing the book. I know you and Jason really poured a lot into it. And I wish you the best success, Rachel. As I said, if you're listening and want to pick up a copy of that, excuse me, go to logicalsoultalk.com/CWFM. Pick up a copy of Rachel's book. Fascinating reading. Pretty pink color. Cover.
Actually, and, Michael, if I can jump in for a second, the
sure,
folks who are listening, if they'll go to your site rather than go to Amazon, when they go and buy the book through your site, they will get an autographed copy of the book. If they go to Amazon, it will not be autographed. But if they go through your site, it will be autographed by both Jason and I.
Excellent. Great offer. So take her up on that. LogicalSoulTalk.com/CWFM. Pick up a copy of Conversations with Female Millionaires. We've got about 1 minute left, Rachel. If anybody's on the if anybody's on the phone and want to ask her a question, we've got just a minute. And after the show, if you want to listen to the music, after the music, we'll still have time for questions. We just won't be streaming live. So that number again is 347-843-4544. Press 1 to raise your hand, and I'll be happy to call on you. Rachel, thank you so much. We're about to run out of time here, so excuse me. So real quick, I just have to announce next week's guest. Next week's guest is supposed to be my couch surfing friend, Lori Bingle. It's our second anniversary. We've been live for 2 years now. And Ori was my first guest. I'm trying to get him back on the show. He's a couch surfer, which means he travels all over the country talking to different people. And I haven't confirmed yet, but hopefully we're going to have Ori back on the show, find out what he's been up to. Real interesting character. So tune in next Tuesday at 6 p.m. Eastern time for Logical Soul Talk. So we've got just about 30 seconds left here. Rachel, do you have anything you want to add real quick before we sign off? And then you can join us after the music.
You know what? I would just say anyone who's listening, if you're ever on the fence or you're ever in doubt about something that you really want to go for, man, you only live once. If it's your dream, pursue it until it's done. You know, definitely don't let anything or anyone stand in your way or try to tell you you can't do something because the power of self-determination beats out anything that anyone believes about you. And it's like Henry Ford said, whether you think you can or you think you can't, you're right.
Great advice. Great advice. So I assume you've got some big dreams coming up yourself, Rachel. What's
Are
that
you
for the
kidding
book?
Me?
Huh?
Oh, yes, I have a few.
Well, I'd love to hear about them. If you want to hang on after the music, I'd love to ask you a little bit about it. Can you do that?
Absolutely.
Absolutely. So, wait a minute. Hold on. You know what? We're out of time. I thought we were going to have some music, but we didn't. Are you still there?
I am still here.
What happened was this show was originally scheduled for 1 hour, and I set the music for 1 hour, which means that I didn't get that warning. So streaming is over. The live show is over. Now we're in the after talk.
Well, okay.
It's like suddenly without warning. So anyway, we can continue talking. It's just we're not streaming live anymore. So
okay.
If you're still there on the phone, you can ask Rachel a question. We're no longer streaming live, so no one will hear you except those who listen to the podcast. So if you have a question, just press 1 to raise your hand. Rachel, I wanted to ask you about your plans. Tell me what's coming up after the book.
Well, let's see. I have another book. I've got two other books that are coming out this year. One is called The Art of War for Entrepreneurial Women, and that's due out in June. And then the second one is The Dark Side of Success, and that's due out in September. And that talks a lot about self-sabotage.
A little dark side there. That's interesting. A mystery novel type book.
No, actually, I'm doing it with a friend of mine who we were sitting over coffee one day, and I said, you know, funny thing, whenever I really started getting successful, I found that I had a lot of problems with self-sabotage because I didn't think that I deserved the success that I was getting. It came from a comment that my husband made, actually. We were moving into our very first million-dollar neighborhood, and coming from where I had been just 10 years ago, it was a very big deal, very, very proud moment. And my husband said, did you realize, and he meant nothing by it, but he said, you realize you make more in a month than your father, your brother, and your two brother-in-laws do in a year put together. You make in a month. And I freaked out. I absolutely freaked out. I mean, how dare I? My father has his master's degree. I know. This is about 3, maybe 4 years ago.
Oh, okay.
And I said, how dare I make more money than this? That is the biggest slap in the face. I'm 18 hours away from my college degree, and that's just a Bachelor of Science.
Uh-huh.
You know, my dad, like I said, my dad's got his master's. My brother has his bachelor's. And, you know, they're all very heavily involved in the church and the things that they do. But, I mean, who am I to make more money than they do? And a lot of times, entrepreneurs in general, but women especially, have a tendency to belittle what they do because it comes easy to them. You know, if it's easy, then why in the world would anybody, if it's easy for me to do, why in the world would anybody pay for it? Because we assume that it would be easy for everybody else. And you know, in that sense, I started looking at what I was doing and I completely shut down. We lost the house in 4 months. And were forced to go and live in the back, two bedrooms of my parents' house.
Right. Well, I tell you what, Rachel, we've got a call. Somebody raised their hand, so I'm going to bring them online here. Let me send you a copy of my new book. I've got a book out just recently published called The Money Matrix Method. Jason knows about it, and I'll send you a copy of that. It talks about just what you're discussing, and I think you might find it interesting. So, get your address after the call here, or actually you can send it to me by email and just let me know, and I'll be happy to mail you a copy, a signed copy. Well, as soon as I get some copies, I've only got a proof copy right now, but as soon as I get one, I'll be happy to send it over to you. Let me bring this person online. I think I know who it is. Brigitta, you're on the air.
Hi, Michael. Hi. You took my question. You asked her my question. The moment I raise, ask it. So, well, congratulations to what you're doing and to your book and to your life. And so, What I'd like to ask is, how are your children now?
Oh, my kids are now, the oldest is 14 and the twins are 10. We've been homeschooling them for, gosh, I guess about 8.5, almost 9 years. So they are definitely doing very, very well. They travel with me as many places as I can take them, and have their own entrepreneurial endeavors in mind as well. So hopefully I'm doing something right.
I'm sure you do. I mean, they learn from you. They learn what you're doing. So great. So thank you.
Oh, thank
you. Thank you, Bridget. That was my wife, Bridget. She follows my shows every once in a while. And glad to have her on the air. So anyway, Rachel, I'm going to let you have the last few minutes here. Is there anything else that remains unsaid or that you want to add to this conversation before we say bid adieu?
One of the things that was so powerful to me in the book was at one point, and this ties into what we were just talking about with the self-sabotage. At one point, Sandra Yancey was saying, you know, I am failing right and left. Things are not turning out the way that I thought. I need to just go back and get a job and just forget all of this. And she's complaining to her mother about it, as women often do.
Mm-hmm.
And her mom says, she says, I just want to quit. And her mom says, what if you're quitting 5 minutes before the miracle happens?
Mm. Right.
That was one of the most powerful statements I had ever heard. What if? I mean, like, what, you know, you're on the brink. You can't fall any farther than you've gotten. And you're scared and you don't know whether you're going to make it through. And this is with anything, not necessarily entrepreneurship. It can be anything that you want to do in life. You know, you pursuing a dream in painting or photography or whatever, and it's just not working out, and you're not as good as you thought you were going to be, and it's tougher than you thought, and you don't know how to play the drums, but you really want to learn. What if you're quitting 5 minutes before it clicks, before you get
right.
it, before the entire world opens up to you? You know, that alone was just so powerful to me that I've always, ever since then, if anything has been tough or been difficult and I'm questioning whether to move forward, what if I'm quitting 5 minutes before the miracle happens?
Right.
And I find
that reminds
the energy to keep going.
That reminds me of the story. I forget who told it about the guy who owned the Comstock silver mine or whatever. But he was a miner, and he was always looking for silver or looking for ore or whatever, and he never found anything. So he sold the land he was on and went traveling the world looking for the stuff. And meanwhile, the person who bought his mine was, like, you know, chipped in a few more feet, and suddenly it was there.
Yeah.
And suddenly rich mine just opened up, and it's like, holy cow, this person just sold his birthright, sold away everything he had for a pittance. So, yeah, it's amazing. It's almost like you have to make a commitment, you know? Like, I do this show. I've been the show for 2 years. Don't make any money, but I do this show because I love interviewing people and I love having people on the show. And something's going to happen eventually, and, you know, building a brand, all that. But the main thing is you got to do something you love, and you're going to stick with it. Even if it doesn't pan out, you're going to love it, and you're going to stick with it. And I guess that's the other part of that. You're probably not going to quit if you truly love what you're doing and you have that belief, like you just said, that a miracle is just around the corner. So I wish that for you, Rachel, and I hope that things do. The miracle does happen, and I hope, you know, this thing does happen for you. So, and I'm pretty sure it will.
Well, thank you so much, Michael. I really appreciate that.
I know you seem to have the mindset, you seem to have the determination, and you seem to have the skills that will take you very far. And I've certainly enjoyed the interview myself, talking with you, and feel free to be on the show again. I'd love to have you back. Keep
anytime.
Up with you. Find out what's been going on.
Absolutely.
And I hope to meet you sometime soon. I'm good friends with Jason. Jason and I've got good friends. I go out and ride a unicycle, and he follows me on his bike every once in a while. We go
You're
out.
You are the unicycle rider.
Yeah, that's right.
I'm
the guy. Yep, I'm the guy. Yeah, I'm riding for charity, and I'm almost up to 1,000 miles now. So. That's what I'm going for. So.
Wow.
So anyway, well, thanks again for being on the show, and I'll speak with you again soon, I hope.
It was absolutely my pleasure. Anytime.
Rachel, send me your email, or send me an email with your address on it, and I'll be happy to send you a copy of the book when I get it, okay?
I'll do it. Thanks so much.
Take care. And for all of you listening, this is Logical Soul Talk. I'm Dr. Michael Craik. Thanks for joining us.